LeBron and Jordan debate goes to another weird level. More after this. Hurricane season is here. Recently, we realized it's not just hurricane season that can hurt us. My in-laws had a pipe burst in their home. Our hotel for our wedding weekend had the main pipe burst. Any time of year, things can happen to your home or business. And the insurance company can be your friend, but they also can be your enemy. Horizon Public Adjusters, Justina Testa, are here for you to help this process go so much easier. Before you call the insurance company, call Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa at 954-809-8752. Would you go into court without an attorney? No. So why would you go up against an insurance company without Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa? First of all, they give you a free 11-point inspection, 7 to 10 times more money recovered with a public adjuster than if you went on your own. If there's no recovery, there's no fee. They work for you, not the insurance company. They'll minimize your stress and maximize your claim. Any and all insurance claims, Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa are here for you. Give them a call at 954-809-8752. Why go up against insurance companies alone when you can have Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa on your side?
State of Florida versus Casey Marie Anthony. We, the jury, find the defendant not guilty.
The law, my boy, puts us into everything. It's the ultimate backstage pass.
Fourth person, charging defendant Aaron Hernandez. What say you, Madam Fourth Person?
Guilty.
Just the facts, ma'am.
We, the jury, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
Certainly. What have I got to lose?
Don't believe a word he says, Your Honor. He's crazy.
It's so funny because the LeBron James versus Michael Jordan debate is one that I guess will never be settled. It's about fandom, really. The funny thing is, I hated Jordan. It's not like I'm Mr. LeBron fan, but I can appreciate Jordan's talent and his winning, and I can appreciate LeBron James' talent and winning. However, when it comes to the Space Jam debate, or the Space Jam discussion, I'm totally befuddled. You could love Michael Jordan. He was not a good actor. He didn't even try to act, and whenever he did, most of his commercials, he didn't even speak in them. And Space Jam, he was not good. And the original Space Jam, I guess because it's 25 years old, has this aura around it because it had Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing and some of the all-time greats. Plus, you had Bill Murray, who was a legendary actor-comedian. So it has this aura to it. It wasn't good. It was a kid's movie. I've never really been able to sit through the whole thing from beginning to end. The new Space Jam Legacy with LeBron James, I guess it's been 25 years in the making, and we've heard about this most of LeBron's career. So it's been also put on this pedestal for people expected I don't know what. It's a kid's movie. I watched it. I actually enjoyed it. It's pretty cool. I thought LeBron was a way better actor than Michael Jordan. It was really fun to see the old school Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and all the cast from my youth and my parents' youth brought back to a generation that doesn't really know them. And I thought it was a really good kids movie, and I thought honestly it was better than the original Space Jam. And the fact that people are slamming it, I think it's more of, we hate LeBron, we love Michael Jordan, so we have to slam this movie. So Louis' Law for today is LeBron versus Jordan on the court, one debate. LeBron versus Jordan in movies isn't even comparable. Jordan sucks as an actor, and that first movie was not good. LeBron James is a much better actor, and this movie is as good, if not better. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's definitely worth watching. Lower your expectations. Remember, it is a kid's movie, and all of you are hating or just hating on LeBron because that's what people tend to do. Take a step back and realize it's just a movie, and it's actually an improvement. This is Luby's Law.
Winning pick threes, doubles and exactas and trifecta keys, overs and unders and long gambling flings. These are
a few of my favorite things.
Bookies and loan sharks who charge little juice, parlays and long shots and wins by the cues, blackjack and roulette and pairs of pocket kings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Natalie Rodriguez, ladies and gentlemen.
The Modern Day Odd Couple, Defoe and Louie, are on now. It is, of course, The Defoe Show.
Working on a night move, trying to make some front page.
All right, the big debate. Mike Louie Lubitz coming up with a Louie's Law on the Space Jam movie and whether LeBron was a better actor than Michael Jordan. We asked the question earlier. Worst debut in a movie. I'm assuming that was Jordan's first movie, Space Jam.
Yeah.
Jordan or Cindy Crawford in the movie Fair Game. Cindy Crawford. A very vapid performance given by one Cindy Crawford, as attractive as she may be. Michael Jordan, of course, was going to get a pass, even if he, was the second coming of Pauly Shore in that movie. But Pauly Shore was worthy of an Oscar compared to Michael Jordan. That's what you're saying, Mike Luby Lubitz? Now, this all came up because we had Jeff Bergman, who is the voice of both Bugs Bunny and Yogi Bear, on the show earlier. And he was great. He was a real sport. He did the voices for us. And, of course, so it was the voice there with Bugs Bunny in Space Jam. And he said he thought it was very well acted, Space Jam with LeBron James. I think he agreed with you in your Luby's Law, Mike Luby Lubitz.
I guess he's biased. The movie. So he's not going to slam it. I think it's funny because LeBron's done way more acting and has actually worked at his acting, quote-unquote, craft. And has actually stepped out in commercials, and he's been in movies, and he's done TV shows, and he has gotten pretty comfortable doing it. Jordan made it a point. If you remember Jordan's commercials, he barely talked. I don't remember any of his commercials outside of, like, a line here or there, because he wasn't comfortable doing it, and he wasn't good at it. And even in Space Jam, where he was the main character, I don't think he talked a lot. Like, he didn't have a lot of lines. Like, LeBron is active in this entire movie. I don't think they're comparable. I think, literally, people take the Jordan-LeBron debate to weird lengths.
People are very anti-LeBron in that debate. I mean, it's an overwhelming majority that would tell you that Michael Jordan was clear-cut the best basketball player ever. He's got six rings. I'm hoping this, and I put this up on my Facebook page here, hoping Jeff Bezos can locate my last two scheduled Amazon deliveries while he is in space today. Is there any chance he sees that stuff floating around out there? Because nothing arrived at the house. And when am I going to stop getting the Martosha's mail?
Well, they need to change their thing.
Courtesy of Amazon.
I don't know why them sending you a package should have nothing to do with what they receive. Like, I guess they changed the address received and didn't change it back. That's weird.
Victoria Martosha, my former neighbor there at the Barefoot Beach Villas, has everything delivered. My friend.
My wife's the same way.
So,
Shirley does groceries.
There's like 17 packages have already come to the house here. And through Barnaby Jones type investigative work, we discovered that it was the Martosha's mail that we were getting, even though nothing specified that. So, yeah, I mean, come on, Jeff. If you can get to outer space, can you straighten this mess out, please? That's all I ask. What do you think? I mean, it's an 11-minute ride, Luby. Does that qualify? I saw Neil deGrasse Tyson on CNN last night, trying to give us some kind of barometer of what level of space travel this was. And I think he kind of deemed it marginal, but said that it was still a good thing that all these guys are shooting off rocket ships. Unbelievable. So we'll figure it. He must have landed by now, right? Bezos, wasn't he scheduled to take off around 9 o'clock?
No clue, yes. I would think I don't know if he's landing, but he should have gotten there by now, yes.
All right, find my packages, Jeff, while you're up there. All right, we're coming back with more. It's the ALT Defoe Show, brought to you by Altitude International. I'm Jeff DeForest. He is Mike Luby Lubitz. The Marlins on the station later on tonight. That was a rough one, huh? Did you get a hold of Glenn Geffner and see what it was like for him to call that game last night? That had to be dreadful. How much material could you have after it was 10-0 early, and then it was like 13-0, then it was 18-0, and then Miggy hit a home run? And I'm thinking, do we have a 17-run rally left in us for the people at Deal Volkswagen and a run for 71? Because right now we're running for the ropes, Luby. We're on the ropes. Pitching staff decimated down to two guys that you would have counted on at the beginning of the year, and everybody else is injured. Luby, what do we do tonight? The Nationals were staggering into this series, and they win 18-1. That is a rough one. All right, so we're coming back with more in a moment. You think there's anxiety down at the old Volkswagen about the run right now, Luby? Possible trading of Starling Marte?
It's very good about being positive, so I give them credit. I think they're on a different place than I am right now.
Cooper, gone. Marte, gone. What do you think?
Probably.
That could be a rough one, man. They had to bring in reinforcements on TV. It was great seeing Tommy Hutton. He was on from like the fifth inning on. It was fantastic. As they were tossing around various scenarios there. Well, you know what? They never implied there was going to be a comeback in that game. I was rooting for that, naturally. All right, we're coming back with more in a moment. Now that, speaking of comebacks.
The time.
Don't forget our good friend the Greek at 3 o'clock, too. It's 9:15.
How many people would this be a viable working title at this stage of your life? Jeff DeForest, looks like I'm going to die broke.
There is nothing better than Defoe. We now return to the Defoe Show.
Welcome back to the show on this fine Tuesday. I hope you guys are enjoying yourselves, getting ready for a big, big day. We certainly are here on 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. The ALT Defoe Show, brought to you by Altitude International, and we welcome. I always have this song in my head whenever I think about this Heavy.com. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. Sean Devaney joins us here. Heavy.com, Forbes Sports, covers the NBA, longtime NBA writer. Sean, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Defoe. How are you?
I'm okay, except I'm a little bit on edge here because I kind of want a Game 7. I don't know how you feel about it. I didn't really have any tremendous rooting interest. We do want to disgrace Luby, who recommended that we grab Justice Winslow over Devin Booker 6 years ago. Oh, and he had a shot at this kid. And so I wouldn't mind seeing Booker win a championship to distinguish himself even further. Milwaukee, I have a great empathy for Giannis Antetokounmpo. All of a sudden, people were denouncing him as being a clown, incapable of leading a team to a championship, and he's doing just that. So with no great rooting interest, I still would like to see a Game 7. I don't know how you feel about that, whether you're pulling for one team or the other.
Yeah, no, I agree that this has been an excellent series. I'm pretty sure the broadcasting partners had other things in mind when they were looking at the playoffs, that they were hoping that it would be Lakers and Brooklyn Nets, and they didn't get that. But you know, in its stead, we've gotten a pretty good series here and a lot of back and forth and some really, to me, you know, you get the memorable plays. You know, you get the Jrue Holiday strip there that leads to the Giannis dunk. You get the Giannis block on DeAndre Ayton at the end of Game 4. So, I mean, there's really been some remarkable plays, and I think that's kind of the measure of a series. If things are so tense that you remember the one play that defined the game, then that's probably a pretty good game.
Yeah, people keep wanting to, you know, stick a knife in Giannis Antetokounmpo, and, you know, he may ultimately end up losing a series. It's certainly not out of the realm of possibilities. But and I'll look at his free throw shooting, which he actually makes some clutch free throws. That was pointed out to us by Ron Rothstein, Heat basketball analyst, their former coach. He's seen a lot of hoops. And yet, I mean, if you look at the plays like you just described that he's made in a clutch, including running the floor there on that pass from Jrue Holiday after the steal, and a sensational block after he already was going to the wrong man and comes back and recovers like that as if he was Rogi Vachon or some goaltender that is in the Hall of Fame. You know, that's overlooked. I mean, that's his game. So I don't know why people want to always puncture holes in this guy.
Yeah, I think the free throws are one thing. I think the three-pointers are the other. You know, he's just not a three-point shooter. I think he's taken, let's see, 12. He's 2 for 12 here in the NBA Finals, shooting the three. But again, you're right. That's his game. And what they've had to do is, you know, at some point you've got to accept that that's his game. And rather than, you know, whine about it and say he doesn't fit what the modern analytics say a good player is, we can go that route. I don't understand the point of that, though. Let's look at what he does well and get players who accentuate that. And that's why you see them, you know, spreading out the floor as much as they do, attempting the number of three-pointers that they do, setting up their defense the way that this is a defensive player of the year, too, don't forget, that they go ahead and find ways to accentuate what he does well rather than dwelling on what he doesn't do well. And I think the people who want to poke holes in his game are the ones who are going to say, okay, let's look at what he doesn't do well.
Coming from the Offlakes Only Studios, talking a little bit more NBA with the one only Sean Devaney. Follow him up on Twitter at Sean Devaney, NBA editor for Heavy.com, author as well. Sean, the other guy in this series that I feel like doesn't get really enough, I want to say, blame for his lack of championship success or lack of championship experience. It's Chris Paul. And it felt like this was the year they made it there. He was the guy that helped take his team from outside the playoffs to being a championship contender. And then the last three games, he looked like a guy that has never played in NBA Finals. Do you think Chris Paul, if the Suns lose, deserves blame? Or what do you think he should get? As look, LeBron's been excoriated. We've had Kevin Durant get stuff his entire later in his career for not winning without Steph and Draymond and Clay. Like, what do you think Chris Paul should get when it comes to blame if the Suns don't win this title?
Yeah, he's going to get a fair share of blame, and he should. Certainly these last few games, he has struggled badly with turnovers. He was ineffective for much of game five, didn't have the huge turnover numbers, but Monty Williams wanted to go with some different lineups. And so you saw his minutes kind of cut back in that third quarter, especially. When it comes to legacy, whether you like it or not, you're only going to get a couple of chances at the big one if you're lucky. Reggie Miller, had one and didn't get there, and we kind of remember him for that. And Charles Barkley, had one and didn't get there, and we remember him for that. So you can go through, and there's a lot of great players. I think of Dirk Nowitzki, who had two chances at the NBA Finals. Probably got a little lucky in facing the Heat in 2010, right? Because that team, it was 2011, that team was still a little shaky and had a lot of things to work out. The chemistry wasn't quite right, all that sort of stuff. And that's when Dirk Nowitzki caught them, won a championship. And whatever you say about him, the fact that he only made it there twice in 20 years doesn't matter because he won one. And that's what he's always going to be remembered for. So, Chris Paul is going to find himself, if he doesn't win this one, he's probably going to find himself in that Reggie Miller, Charles Barkley category. He's going to be remembered for being individually great, but also going to be remembered for, never being able to step up and win the big one.
Sean Devaney. Catch him on heavy.com, also Farm Sports, writing about the NBA with us here on 940 Wins. 1230 The Zone and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. I look at the face of Bobby Portis when he comes into the game for the Milwaukee Bucks, and I'm thinking maybe it boils down to something as simple as this, because he seems to be the embodiment of the idea that we're going to go out there and we're no way going to get out-hustled. And Milwaukee seems to be the team that is just out-hustling the Phoenix Suns in the last three games. Does it boil down to something as simple as that? I mean, they're grabbing the boards. They're coming up with key steals, coming up, as you said, with key blocks. And of course, shooting well in the clutch. And so are they just out-hustling the Phoenix Suns at this point?
Yeah, and that was always going to be Milwaukee's only path to winning this series. Look, Phoenix is a better team, and I know we've talked about this guy before, guys. They've got a much smoother offensive game. They've got three players who can lay 20 plus points on you, whether it's Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. With Booker, of course, as we've seen, being plenty capable of putting 40 on you. They've got the brilliant shooters, Cameron Johnson, Jay Crowder. We know what he can do from the three-point line. Bridges is a fantastic three-point. I mean, they are a smooth unit. What Milwaukee has to do is ugly things up and throw some elbows and get those rebounds, win the offensive rebound. They've been dominating second chance points. That's the kind of thing they've got to do. They've got to force a few more turnovers than Phoenix. They've got to, get out in the fast break and get some of those easy baskets that don't have the great shooters that Phoenix has. So they have to win all those little categories in the margins, and they've been doing that, especially the offensive rebounding and the rebounding battle in general, getting those second chance points. That's been huge for them. They are not in this series if not for those kinds of categories. Phoenix, like I said, much smoother team. Milwaukee needs, and you're right, Portis kind of embodies that. They need to make things a little bit ugly and throw some elbows, and that's what they've been doing these last three games.
That's a couple of things here with Sean Devaney. Sean Devo likes to make fun of me, and he's not wrong. I do truly enjoy the off-season moves as much as the actual season itself. It started, I guess, in 2009 leading up to that 2010 and free agency period, and every year has been something of that the regular season, a big deal was where would James Harden go? Would he be traded? And to who? The offseason looked like it'd be about Ben Simmons. It now feels like it's going to be more about Damian Lillard. And unlike years past when he totally quieted any murmurs, he hasn't this time. Literally, he said all the things that you heard of James Harden. You've heard Giannis in the past. You heard of Durant. You've heard LeBron say that a lot of the time leads to a trade. What do you think happens with Damian Lillard? And is this finally the year that we see him moved?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to, if he really wants to be moved, he's going to have to do something that doesn't come natural to him. Mm-hmm. And that be a giant jerk. Like, he's that's the only way they're going to move him right now. Like, he's still under contract for four more years.
Jeez.
They don't have to do anything for it. You know, I mean, and they're paying him, $200 million in those 4 years. So nobody's going to feel that much sympathy in terms of, the public relations battle here. It is on the side of the Blazers, at least in terms of the contract and things like that. Where Lillard can try to expose something is really to try to force himself out, either by doing what James Harden did and just sit down at a press conference and say, I can't win here, I don't want to be here, and that really forces the hand. The only other thing he can maybe take advantage of is the Blazers have, with Paul Allen's passing, the team went to Jody Allen. She doesn't really want it. There's all sorts of stipulations that Paul Allen left in terms of what should happen with the team. It's most likely that it's going to be sold. So the question becomes, can Lillard step in there and kind of take advantage and say, they would be better off with his situation settled, trying to sell the team rather than having, all these negative headlines. They had the negative headlines with Billups. Now they have the negative headlines with Lillard. If they can just settle the thing and bring in some young players and kind of reset the whole franchise, it would probably be easier to sell. So that's something that he might be able to exploit here and say, hey, look, you'd be better off trading me. It'll help you with the sale of the team. Other than that, under contract for 4 years, it's really going to be hard for him to force his way out of there unless he is, like I say, just a giant jerk the way James Harden was back in December.
Sean Devaney, Heavy.com, Farm Sports with us here, longtime NBA writer on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone around the world on the iHeartRadio app. All right, final thing, Sean. Chris Paul, if the Suns go down tonight, he's going to get barbecued. you said that earlier, and there's no doubt about it. I mean, that's the way it works now in sports analysis. Will Mike Budenholzer, should Milwaukee win tonight, no longer be perceived as a bozo if he wins the championship?
I've always thought the old Mike Budenholzer doesn't know what he's doing thing was a little goofy. So yeah, hopefully that gets put to rest because, I love guys who go on Twitter and somehow as soon as they sit in front of their keyboard, they become the second coming of Jim Naismith, and strategy and they know every X's and O's and why isn't he making adjustments. You have people on Twitter who want him to make adjustments and this is my own fault for reading Twitter, right? I mean, I'll accept that.
Yes.
But it's my own fault, baby. When it's like you want an adjustment on every possession.
Exactly.
Like he's supposed to, you get 95 possessions, he's supposed to make 95 adjustments. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. You have to coach, you set up your system, you run the guys out there, you see how it works. Maybe you make an adjustment, maybe two during a game, but that's it. And these people who roast him, it becomes this whole snowball thing where one person says it and so everybody says it, and it's really been out of control. I would almost root for the Bucks just to kind of shut some of those people up about Mike Budenholzer.
All of a sudden, he's going to be Pete Carril, right? To come up with something innovative there. Maybe even throwing the old four corners from Norm Sloan's book. All right, thanks so much, Sean. Always a pleasure, my friend. Heavy.com and Forbes Sports. You can find the work of the great Sean Devaney. Always a pleasure, and thanks so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Be safe, Sean. Thanks.
Very good. Good analysis there, Sean Devaney. Huh?
That was good.
That was strong. You love that off-season speculation, Luby. You love talking about meaningless stuff here.
Because the Heat are always involved.
On the show.
The Heat have conditioned us that every off-season, because remember, the one off-season I expected nothing was a Jimmy Butler off-season. Remember, they were maxed out. They had no one that anyone wanted. They were a disaster. They had the worst future of anyone in the NBA.
That's when Riley pulls it off.
And then that's when they got Butler. So it's like, all right, I'm just going to look forward to this every off-season because the Heat are always in play.
We're getting Giannis.
Exactly. I really believe it.
We're getting Giannis. I'm telling you, either that or it's going to be a deal they'll pull off for Booker for Goran Dragic and Iguodala. Suns might go for that. I can't go for that. No can do. That would be, I mean, it would just play that song, punch it right up there for Pat Riley to hear in the air. I can't go for that. All right, are we stuck with a bunch of stiffs? That's always the question in town here. Is that a Miami characteristic? Are we stuck with a bunch of stiffs? Always have to be concerned about that. Right? And you were right about Keith Yandle, by the way. Just an aside here from the Panther organization. Did you see that little clip? They bought out his contract with like 2 more years left and a couple of $100 million. So you said that he had declined at a point. I threw him out there as if he was a hero of the postseason, that this was a significant loss that he was out, Keith Yandle. So you were right about this, Mike Luby-Libbets, Mr. Pucks.
That's me.
Very unusual. All right, we're coming back with more. Well, take up until 10 o'clock today. The Greek comes your way, 9:40 wins, 3 Man. O'clock this afternoon. Yeah, no, he's fantastic with Ricardo. And then Marlins baseball, they lost 18-1 last night. In fact, a couple of those balls that were hit by the Nationals, did Bezos come across any of those while in space? And there it is. Yeah, that was that line drive. Isn't Bezos like a Nationals fan?
Maybe.
He owns the Washington Post, right? Yeah, he's got ties there. Well, he owns half of the universe. Yeah. At this point,
and he just got to outer space. You were asking. I just saw a report. He made it to space.
Okay, and is he coming back? What's the story on that?
No, he's staying.
Can he find those two packages that were ticketed for the Martoshes up there that somehow have been arriving at my doorstep and redirect them somehow to another portion of the planet Earth from a long distance away? All right, we're coming back with more in a moment on 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Now that.
The time.
It's 937.
Pentangeli, were you a member of the Corleone family? Did you serve under Capo regime, under Vito Corleone, also known as the Godfather?
I never knew no Godfather.
Mr. Pentangeli, you are contradicting a sworn statement you previously made to me and signed. I ask you again, sir. Here and now, under oath, were you at any time a member of a crime organization headed by Michael Corleone?
I don't know nothing about that. Oh, I was in the olive oil business with his father, but that was a long time ago, that's all.
We have a sworn affidavit. We have it. Your sworn affidavit that you murdered on the orders of Michael Corleone. Do you deny this confession?
Look, the FBI guys, they promised me a deal. So I made up a lot of stuff about Michael Corleone, because that's what they wanted. But it was all lies. Everything. And I kept saying, Michael Corleone did this, and Michael Corleone did that. So I said, yeah, sure.
It's now time for The Defoe Show.
Welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us here. The ALT Depot Show brought to you by Altitude International, altitude-international.com. For more information about that company, probably hear a lot about them in the Olympic Games. They've been very, very impactful with Olympic athletes from all around the world with the altitude simulation chambers. And speaking of testimony and congressional hearings, Luby, I guess you could make a small equation to this. Did this get underway yet, the SEC Media Days, where my question of the day would be, who would you rather see if you could only pick one of the coaches addressing the press on stage there at the podium and taking questions? Would it be Nick Saban? Would it be Ed Ogeron, who I think it's fair to say, and not to get into any kind of Stephen A. Smith type of jackpot here, is in need of an interpreter, is he not, Ed Ogeron? Never mind that he uses one. He needs to employ one. And Lane Kiffin, of those three.
Oh, Kiffin.
Who would you rather see? Kiffin can be a riot, right? He might take a few shots at Nick, even at SEC Media Days, no?
Yes, Kiffin. Kiffin was already good when he was with Tennessee. He did some stuff, and you're like, oh, this guy's interesting. And then since he left with either FAU or now Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin doesn't care. Like, he will say what he wants to say. He'll be positive about Nick Saban. He'll jab Nick Saban. He'll talk about Urban. He'll talk about the other coaches in the conference. He'll talk about coaches around the country. Like, Lane Kiffin doesn't care. And when he does press conferences, he is a blast. Orgeron would be good, but again, I don't know what he's saying. So I don't know what to do with Orgeron.
Well, that's the whole point of that, yeah, is that you have no idea what he's saying. And it really doesn't matter what he's saying because nobody says anything of any significance anyway. Unless they're cracking on Nick Saban, which we applaud. Right?
And that's why I like Kiffin. Saban says nothing and he gets mad at everybody because he's built his program into a dynasty and he's mad at people because he's built his program into a dynasty. Kiffin's the one. Out of those three, it's Kiffin by far. The honorable mention will be Dan Mullen, because some of the clips are coming out about some of the stuff he said recently, and they make no sense. So as a Florida State fan, it makes me happy to see Florida's head coach, who is a good coach, they're winning on the field, be sort of dumb. Like, he says things that make, like, they brought up something about, you know, are you bothered that Miami is going to be able to pay, a guy talked about paying the Miami kids $500 each, and Mullen asked, is that legal? That's literally the whole point of the new thing.
He's out to lunch, this guy. How about with the COVID thing when he wanted the stadium just packed with overzealous Gator fans who were foaming at the mouth and spraying spittle all over the place as they were chewing tobacco and talking about going back home and milking cows?
Yes, so for me, Mullen comes
Sorry about that, Michael D. Wilde, exactly. If he's still listening. That would be it. He would have punched his radio right off.
All of our Gator fan friends. As a Knoll, Mullen is actually a good coach. I can't hate on him for that, but he does say some things.
He's won games. Yeah, no question. Okay. No, he seems like he should be, wearing a dunce cap or something. Everything he says is...
It's like dumb.
You're wondering, how did he ever recruit a single kid to come and play for the Gators? But, you know what? He won more games last year than people would have anticipated, I believe.
He's won 10 games every year. Like, you can't. I think he's won 10 games 3 years in a row.
Holy Charlie Pell. Unbelievable. All right, we're coming back with more. We're still having a good time with you all morning long. It's been a lot of fun all day long here on the ALT Defo Show. Jeff DeForest, Mike Lubilovitz, your Greek is coming your way at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I was on with the Greek, and I actually experienced on the other end of cell phone crap out, Luby. Just at the very tail end of a long conversation with the Greek on the air, cell phone went out as I pulled up to the house here after being out on a bunch of, kind of errand-like runs. But nonetheless, it was great. And a Greek, 3 o'clock this afternoon. Marlins baseball, can they do it, Luby? Can they bounce back from 18-1? That was a burial last night. What do you think?
Probably. They'll probably win, and they'll probably score a ton of runs today. It's just annoying that yesterday got so out of hand, especially with Rodgers, thank goodness, on the mound.
Turner, going, gone. Soto, going, gone. Bell, going, gone. Barrera, going, gone. John Lester, the pitcher here at the plate, and that one is hit high and far and deep in the right field. Oh, it was home run after home run. It looked like the home run derby. It really did. You would have thought Pete Alonso was stepping up there. My God. Ugliness. Had to start a reliever, right? Detweiler. And he got hammered. They were down 10-0 after a couple of innings. 18-1 was the final there. 18-1. Miggy Lopez. I'm glad he did it, Miggy.
Miggy
nice
Rojas?
Job there.
Who's Miggy Lopez? Miggy Rojas.
Rojas. Did
like,
I
Miggy
say Lopez?
Lopez sounds like a good ball player.
I'm Miggy
like,
Lopez, we need him. To bring up for the minors there. Yeah, Miggy Rojas. Who the hell is Miggy Lopez?
I'm like, man? I know the Marlins decently well, even their minors. I've never heard of this Lopez kid. Like, is he a catcher?
Yeah, it's late in the show, man. I'm getting a little punchy here. Anyway, more Marlins baseball tonight.
Yes,
I think
please.
They're turning around behind Trevor Rogers.
Fish.
No,
come on, yes.
This is getting really painful. This deal of Volkswagen run for 71. I don't want to walk away disappointed. I really don't. I thought that number was a joke when it came out. I really did.
I laughed at it. I'm like, oh, they'll get 71.
Wow, 70 and a hook. You have to be kidding me. It was like a gimme from the gods of gambling, and it shows you how cruel the gods actually are.
Exactly.
I don't think anybody's feeling his pain more than Don Mattingly, who really, would he rather sign like a plea bargain somewhere or sign up on the scorecard?
That's why they said, remember when the reports came out a week ago, that it was mutually agreed upon that he'd stay? Because maybe people thought they'd put him in a room and were forcing him to stay. He supposedly accepted it. Like, he wants to be here, so...
I'm glad, man. He's a great guy.
I love
Couldn't be a better human being. Fantastic.
He's
and the
coach.
Manager of the year. Reigning manager of the year. You can't be dealt the worst hand. I'm not making excuses.
What do you mean?
People are accusing me of shilling for the Marlins here. Shilling. No, we're just rooting to win 71 games at this point.
Man, I'm not really shilling.
I'm not sure much more can be expected, but wow, I'd hate to fall to the number when it looked like we had it well in hand just a few games ago, Luby. This was an ugly hammering last night. What? Should they have just stopped it after seven innings? That would have been the time
that would
to
have
do
been
that.
Nice.
Yeah. Mutual agreement after seven? Okay. Yeah, let's call it. See you later, Donnie.
Oh, by the way, before we go to break, breaking news. Yeah. Adam Schefter, and I'm sure it's not even his report, but he's reporting that Aaron Rodgers has been offered a 2-year contract extension. So there you go. I don't know what that means.
It's pay that man his money, man. He's been doing enough squawking.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
finally just absolutely caved in Green Bay and said, whatever you want, Aaron. Well, whatever you're going to do. This has become an embarrassment for us. Nobody signs with the Green Bay organization in this deal, do they? Everybody's on Aaron. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, by a lot of people's opinion, is not an easy guy to like, Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Turned his back on his own family, right? Listen, Dad. That's it. Now I got to turn my back.
The woman
on
he's not even
Paul
with now.
Servino.
He's not even with the woman. That was for Munn.
The one he married? No.
That was for Olivia Munn, who he's not with. Remember, he and his brother were on the outs. His family was on the outs because of Olivia Munn, and that was like two girls ago. That wasn't even a woman he stuck with.
No, he ended up getting married there, Aaron Rodgers. Strange cat, right? You would have to say. Although I thought he did very well. He was very personable on Jeopardy when he filled in. Did a good job. Who's the only other guy to do that? It was like the kicker for the San Diego Chargers. Remember? Ralph Benerska became a quiz show host.
There you go. Oh, so the report is, actually, that during this offseason, the Packers offered him a 2-year extension, and he declined it. It would have given him 5 more years with the Packers, and he said no.
All right. You know what? It gets to the point where you don't care anymore,
exactly.
right? Let him throw the rock for the Denver Broncos. I don't care.
Yeah, whatever.
Right? I don't pay that much attention to the Packers anyway, although they've won a lot of games and are a fabled NFL organization.
There you go.
Right?
Yes.
Bart Starr, Dowler, Carol Dale. Remember that guy, Carol Dale?
No.
They were great. Horning and Taylor. Are you kidding me? Paul Horning, one of the all-time greats, and a great guy, too. Real character. Used to see him all the time at the track. He was fantastic.
The degenerate,
hang
yeah.
out with. All right.
I was like, yeah, there's a reason why you love him. Didn't he get in trouble for being a gay?
Yes, he was a sick degenerate, like Miguel Lopez.
Exactly. Sounds like a boxer that would see it highly.
Here's Miguel Lopez. He comes in at 118 here. That's a little bloated. He was supposed to make the contract wait. Look at that. Nothing but flab hanging over his shorts there. All right. Coming back with more at 118. Coming back with more in a moment. Know that.
The time.
It's 9:54. You can't fake caring. Women can sense this immediately.
You don't really care. You didn't really want to do any of this.
We now return to the Defoe Show.
We have to flat out run for Mike Lubelewitz. I'm Jeff DeForest. Thanks for listening. Catch us tomorrow at 6, 9:40 wins, 12:30 the zone. Around the world on the iHeartRadio app as we leave you know that.
The time.
It's 10 o'clock.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
It's a return to my soul.